believe or understand. And what did Abraham do? We heard this last week. Abraham fell face down and laughed. Abraham laughed, even though God had blessed his long life. Abraham laughed, even though God had promised, "I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." And that's the context for our reading this morning from Genesis chapter 18. Three men came into view that very hot day and stood near Abraham as he was resting. They looked like ordinary travellers, but there was more than ordinary politeness, even by Eastern standards, in Abraham's eagerness to entertain them. First he ran despite the heat to detain them, and then bowed down before them, paying respect. Did Abraham sense what the writer tells us, that it was the Lord who had appeared? He offered water for their hot, tired feet, rest in the cool, and refreshment. He provided his hospitality on a lavish scale, and even waited on his honored guests. So, a question for us: when we meet with God, are we like Abraham, filled with excitement and reverence? In verse 9 we read, "Where is your wife Sarah?" the guests asked Abraham. How did they know Sarah's name unless... But Abraham did not bring his wife to meet the guests. In verse 10 we read, "One of the guests said, 'I surely will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son.' And Sarah's response, as she listens in her tent, she laughs and says to herself, 'After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?'" Why did Sarah laugh? Well, it only makes sense if Abraham had not told her of that promise from God, the promise that she would have a child. But the Lord knew Sarah's response too. And the Lord said to Abraham in verse 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And he said again, just in a few moments, he said his promise, "I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Our God is the God of the impossible. God is very gracious to us. He makes promises to us. He repeats them again and again. And he keeps his promises, even when we just can't believe them. And that first promise was fulfilled 25 years later. So if you've been praying for something and you haven't yet heard God's response, carry on praying. Abraham had to wait 25 years for that promise to be fulfilled. The visitors, having safely delivered the message concerning Sarah, prepared to depart. And Abraham walked along the road with his guests. only to realize that they were heading to Sodom, where his nephew Lot and his family lived. And standing there with the visitors, Abraham could see from the Judean hills across the Dead Sea to the city of Sodom. What the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah was is not spelt out in the Bible, except that it was so great and their sin so grievous. Even so, the judgment will not be confirmed until the Lord had satisfied himself that the reports that had reached him were true. In verse 21 we read, "I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." No doubt Abraham knew of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham was learning that the judge of all the world sifts all the evidence before he pronounces his verdict. In verse 22 we read, "The men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord." The two men, we know from Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1, were angels. But the other person, the third man, was the Lord, and he stood with Abraham. Abraham had a very special relationship with God, and he was granted the special privilege of intimacy with the Lord. And God shared his intentions with Abraham as a friend shares with a friend. But why did God share his plan with Abraham? God needed Abraham to understand what was going on so that he, Abraham, could explain to those who would listen why God had acted. So Abraham talks with God, and despite that really close friendship, Abraham never becomes familiar. Abraham starts with a question which shows that he understands the Lord's determination to see for himself the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in verse 23 we read, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike." Abraham here is making a desperate bid to save Lot and his family and others who were righteous or right with God. If God was going to sweep away the righteous with the wicked, Abraham would have difficulty reconciling such a judgment with a righteous God. Abraham said in verse 25, "Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" And Abraham's boldness met with a reassuring response from the Lord. If the Lord found 50 righteous people in the city, he would spare it for their sakes. But that hadn't resolved Abraham's problem. What if there were less than 50 people in the city, righteous people in the city? 45, 40, 30, 20, or even 10? And the Lord reassures Abraham, saying, "Yep, I will save that city for 10 righteous people." And we must remember that God both judges and rescues. And whilst there were less than 10 righteous people in the city of Sodom, God rescued those people, Lot and his daughters from the destruction of that city. This talk with God, this prayer with God, was not a bartering exercise. Abraham was far from being in control. Remember, it was the Lord that first spoke to Abraham. And remember, at the end there, the Lord ended the conversation. Abraham was not in control at all. Abraham was not questioning the integrity of God. God needed Abraham to understand what was going on so that he could explain to those who would listen why God had acted. God cannot deny himself, and therefore we can take him at his word, and we can expect him to honour that. Once our prayers are based on God's word, we can, like Abraham, be bold and persevering and continue until we receive the Lord's reassurance of answered prayer. Abraham waited 25 years for the fulfillment of that promise from God for a son. In Romans, we're told that Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And even so, Abraham did get it wrong sometimes. Abraham laughed when God promised him an heir. And so did Sarah, by the way. How do we react to God's promises when we can see no way that they will come true in our situation? It's not wrong to express our doubts to God. We must be honest with God about our disbelief and our doubts, because he already knows them anyway. We can talk with God through prayer, knowing that he is trustworthy and will do what is right. God welcomes our prayers. He wants to hear our fears, our misgivings, and even our objections to what to us he seems to be doing. This week, dear Rita Portway was helping at the charity shop, and she had a really nasty fall, just collapsed right next to me. And I guess if I saw her this morning, she's away for a few days recovering, she would still be covered with bruises. It was that bad a fall. She told me afterwards that she asked God in prayer that evening why she was struggling so much in pain, with the fall being the last straw. And God answered that prayer. The answer came through the hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness," which she sang as she went to sleep that evening. We have a faithful God who will do what is right and provides for us what we need, even if we don't understand what that means in our circumstances. So let us, like Rita and Abraham, hold on to the promises of God. Our loving Father this morning is saying to each one of us, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So let's pray together. Help us to spend time with you, to talk to you, and to listen to you. We ask that, like Abraham, you will bless us, that we may be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Cheers, Peter. I wonder, let's take a few minutes, maybe the band can play a little bit of music, and let's talk about those promises that God's spoken into our lives, and just have a little bit of time reflecting on what Peter said this morning. Let's stand and worship our God.